Hey, it's your girl Madison Chase, and we are talking HBO Insecure Episode 7, Real as Flippity Flip Flip Flop. And who do we have in the studio? Is it Oprah? Is it Ava DuVernay? Is it Issa Rae? Keep watching. You'll find out. Boop.
Okay, wait.
The song is coming.
Did I give it away?
I don't think I gave it away.
That it's not Oprah or Ava DuVernay.
I would guess me.
Breaking news,
what's
ladies.
What's going on?
James, you know, start over. We were trying to get Kronk for the little Drake.
For the Drake. That's what the ladies like.
And child's play.
Like, ladies love cool Drake.
But he said, bounce that.
Hey, bounce that. We can't get to.
Good job, Cortez, for bringing in the music. Without no music, I like the improvisation. That's fantastic. So, I guess I ruined the surprise, but I feel like you're Oprah to me. Like you're Oprah. Aww. Like you're the Oprah of web series.
Thank you.
You are.
I will take it. I will embrace that.
You're going to be sitting outside with Oprah in her backyard.
I would be all up in Oprah's kitchen. I just feel like she has a bomb snack pantry.
All right.
I care about
bread.
Yes, bread for everyone.
Just a taste of bread.
Yeah, I would happily taste the bread.
With the butter, though. You got to get the butter.
I know that's right.
Good butter.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you guys for having me and for doing this show.
So excited.
We're very excited. Mm-hmm. So before we jump into it, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Madison Chase. You can find me at Madison Chase Fit on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Paula Bryant Ellis, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, P. Bryant Ellis.
Hey, Paula.
Hey, Cortez.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back. I'm back.
Yay!
For your comments, I'm back. But anyways, Cortez G. West. You can find me on all social media handles as that, Cortez G. West. And I have the beautiful
Oriana Leo over here. You can find me on Instagram at Oriana Leo, Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo.
Okay, and last but not least.
Me, what do I look and say it? I'm Issa Rae. You can find me everywhere at Issa Rae. ISSARE.
Keep it simple.
That's
across
me.
The board.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
pretty
talking about.
Pretty much. Okay, so now you have to do the honors of the faux Wendy Williams shoe cam.
Oh, the shoe cam.
Oh, the shoe cam.
Chucks all day. Yes. Chucks on my feet.
You can't go wrong with Chucks. Yeah. Chucks and K-Swiss, the superstar Shelto. Mm-hmm. You can't go with them.
I have big feet. So K-Swiss always used to like elongate them. Chucks do that, but in a way that I'm comfortable with.
Comfortable, yeah. Really?
But K-Swiss, nah. Everybody used to look so cool.
K-Swiss, I'm sorry. Adidas.
Oh, Adidas. Yes. Adidas. That's my second.
I said shell toes. I was like, wait, why am I saying K-Swiss?
You did take it back. I was like, I haven't seen them in a minute, but I wasn't going to put you out like that.
They're rocking FUBUs now. So, hey, if FUBU can come back, I'm
going to. FUBU's back? FILAs have made a comeback.
What's up with you, man?
I'll be back.
Your mind. Yeah. Take a break.
I think I need a reboot. Jesus.
You got to reboot it.
Wow. I have a reboot.
Okay. So this episode is called The Realest Real of, like,
Real AF.
It was real.
I have my top three moments of the realest moments.
Okay.
So,
that's real.
Hey, if Jay can walk out.
Jay walked out?
He sure did.
He really had to use the restroom.
He didn't go to the bathroom. He just got up, walked right out the door. We didn't know what to do. We were all like,
is he gone?
Is he coming back?
Hilarious.
Yeah, he really did.
Son?
No, it was like my mama on
just walk out on my show, son.
Yeah. I think we were revealing some intimate things too while you left, right?
Is that what it yes. Yeah. That was what it was. Okay, so my top realest moment you guys can share with. I did like the top three. So I say Issa and Molly was like the realest moment.
Which part?
The part where Molly
the trailer.
Was, yeah, near the trailer, near the catering.
Yeah.
And you had like that real conversation where you can't possibly take some of that stuff back. And it's out there. So what do you guys think? What do you think was like the realest moment? That's the realest moment for me.
for me, when I say realist, I'm going to say the part when Issa was actually talking to Molly and saying, like, pretty much in between the lines, girl, you need counseling.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
One.
So that was like, that's real.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
And you
one.
Could tell your character was uncomfortable. Like, you were trying to laugh it out, like, hey, hey, girl.
Because it worked for Crystal. Maybe it could work for you. But I love you. Yeah. Like, I want the best for you. I like the way when you looked at her and you're like, did she say it was working for her?
Right?
That was a great moment. That was a really great moment.
What about you?
I think the realist was with Lawrence.
Really?
I mean, it's that moment of, like, get the F out of my way. Oh, like, that. That was so real. And we've all been there, I think, at that, of, like, you know, I want more time with you. I want more space with you. I want to explain. The other person has no desire to hear you out. And that moment of, like, get out of my way. I will do whatever I can to move you. Real AF.
There, another one for me would be when Lawrence was talking to Daniel.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's like me. I'm like, for real, so hey, so how you, I'm not going to like.
You're a detective?
In. Yeah, I'm going to
listen. You don't want to look stupid either.
Exactly.
You're, you're crazy.
Think that would, I think all of them are great moments, but the Lawrence Daniel outside might be the most powerful because it had the least amount of words.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It was, and he knew at that moment. Yeah. He knew at that moment what had happened, and now he was looking for Issa to confirm. He knew what he had to do.
What about you, Issa?
What the most real moment for me was, I think definitely the ending. Like, that was the most, that scene still affects me just because, you know, like, in acting it out, it was, like, emotionally traumatic. We had to do, like, 8 or 10 takes. And it was just, like, you're exhausted and you're crying every time. And Jay is such a great guy, like, on set. He's so much fun. Yeah. And he's, you know, just always friendly, always, you know,
you gotta
like
send it because
his mom is here. No, not even. That helps too. But like, before the scene, we just, he did not talk to me. And it wasn't I think he was getting into the character, but I think it was, you know, and I had to get into mine, but just not feel, and then feeling like he was just so great in that scene, and it felt like I really hurt him.
Yeah.
Like, did I do something to you for real? So it was just like that really.
Well, his performance was really compelling, but there was that moment in his eye, like, that he lost it.
Yeah.
And, like, that I was like almost scared for her in that moment of like, he's so hurt and betrayed, and if she really doesn't get out of his way, like, what's gonna happen? Not that he'd be violent, but he's really snapped.
He's really
lost it. He's really been broken.
I've seen him prepare for a scene like that before and watch him kind of go in that moment and, you know, doing what he has to do to distance himself, which is that's what he was doing, right? To get into that character. And, you saw it in him. You really saw him connect with the pain that Lawrence really would be feeling in that instant. I thought he did a great job bringing that home.
So how many times he knocked over the table?
He knocked over the table. After a while, they were like, okay, we're just going to take out the table. But, yeah, the table would go every... Shout out to that table.
I know. It stayed together. It wasn't IKEA there.
We had, like, one time, or maybe we had one where I feel like it did break. And then they just had to say, but I don't know. We had backup tables. For sure.
And that's so tough on you guys, because, I mean, to your point of, like, having to do that 7 or 8 times. Yeah. You know, you got your why, then you got to do his coverage, your coverage. That is so amazing to stay in that moment.
At the end, I definitely, it was during my close-up, because they started with the why. So it was like, all the tears come out then. By the very end, I was like, bro, I don't have no more tears.
Is it real?
Man, it was just, and I'm not a crier. So like all my tears were kind of reserved for that, or it just is like, okay, I have to tap into actually, you know.
Had you had to do a moment like that before? Have you ever had a scene like that before?
In a play a very long time ago, like my freshman year of college, I was in a play where, you know, you had to cry on cue every night, but that was the extent of it. Since then, I hadn't really had an emotional scene like that.
You know what? You know what else I thought was really cool?
What's that?
It was like during the event, during the setup of the event, and Polly and I laughed at it.
We gotta talk about that.
And the dude was like asking her a question, and she just went off.
That's some real. So I grew up in that neighborhood, right? And now it's extremely gentrified.
This is what people say on like Access Hollywood.
What?
It's the Black Beverly Hills. Like, it's not
it came out of nowhere, and it's not. It's black middle class people and upper middle class people for the most part, but it's a neighborhood that white people used to live in.
Yeah.
And of course white flight happened, mm-hmm. and then, you know, black people came and took ownership of this neighborhood, and now white people are rediscovering it, like, yeah. oh my gosh, I can't yeah. believe these homes are mm-hmm. here.
Yep.
And the area of Crenshaw and
LA Rams, soon to be the
I mean
LA
yeah
Rams.
That
it is the stadium,
but like Crenshaw itself is like getting like a Whole Foods.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
A lot of businesses are leaving and are there for lease because of this railroad that's coming through that's going to connect, you know.
How's your neighborhood changed?
My neighborhood has, you know, it's just, it's gotten more diverse.
Yeah.
I like how you say more that. Diverse. It kind of goes up. Yeah. It's gotten more diverse.
You know.
You gave her that Molly face when Molly was talking about Sheena. I'm just trying to help you.
I'm just trying to help.
Okay. But yeah, I think that's an interesting topic because typically we don't see this kind of realness when you're mm-hmm. talking about gentrification. Mm-hmm. And I noticed you showed Simply Wholesome.
Yeah.
So just showing all of these iconic places, and even the place that you were trying on clothes, is
that's
near,
a place right next to,
right next to Simply Wholesome. Yeah. Like, that's my little stomping ground.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Simply Wholesome and Patty. Shout out to Simply Wholesome.
Yes. I was just there last week.
Right.
And shout stuff out to I eat.
Yeah, yeah, stuff I eat is awesome.
I was going to say that. Shout out to all the locations you guys filmed in. Like, for real, for real. Like, yeah. definitely put.
Every episode, we're talking about how you show Inglewood and mm-hmm. the community in such a great positive light. Mm-hmm. And that has not been done before. Yeah. So it's great to see. We applaud you for that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It's very real. That's
yes.
what
it is.
Yes. Yeah. In there, it's not this, like, downtrodden place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful mm-hmm. area.
Mm-hmm. So we had Ben in the studio.
Yes.
He's one of the writers. And he kind of gave us a little bit about Ben in the room as you guys were writing this show.
Yeah. Ben Corey.
You put us in the room when you were there. Like, I really want to know, like, more.
Oh, man. I love the writer's room process is my favorite part because, you know, you're crafting the stories and mm-hmm. everybody, I said that everybody in the room has had a piece of their life, morsel, a chunk, like, in the show because mm-hmm. everybody's sharing, everybody's super open. We all genuinely like each other mm-hmm. and it just, and then sometimes it goes down, like with Wars. Like, one of our writers, Dana, she's also a co-EP, she introduced Nerf guns. Actually, Prentice introduced Nerf guns. She finally brought, like...
But when you said war, you mean war.
We mean war. Right? There's, like, a video, a trailer that I recorded of us going to war. That it gets
funny.
Real.
Wow.
But it's a great way to, like, you know, let off some steam.
Mm-hmm.
We made new teams just recently. We were starting the writer's room again, and that kind of... Everybody's, like, doesn't trust each other to that end, because it's like, I just shot you last time, but you on my team. But it's really fun. It's just, it's a great... tight-knit group.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I'm not on the league.
They are you're on the league? Yeah. That's so funny.
They accepted my invitation.
We should have got it.
I'm on the league, so I have to wait a little bit longer so I can invite Madison.
I was like, hello.
She was like, that didn't take long.
Oh my God. That was like a 30-minute discussion when Ben was here.
Oh my God.
That almost divided the room.
Really?
One of our writers, like, signed up first,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and then... watched as everybody else got accepted before her.
Oh my gosh.
She was not happy with that. And then she got, like, on a wait list, and there were still 100,000 people ahead of her. And so she was like, F this. She got accepted. So it was
okay,
all good.
Because when I got accepted, I was like, oh. I was popping the colors. I was like, because that email that you get.
Uh-huh.
Is they set it up real nice. Like, oh, okay, thank you. Congratulations. Like, okay.
Thank you. Well,
he bragging.
Yeah.
He bragging.
I know. He wasn't being known. I'm on the league. I'm on the league.
I love the moment when they're setting up when the girl comes to Issa with the flowers and says, Issa, where do these go?
Oh, you know
where they go. That was my favorite moment.
Patricia.
Yes. I was like, boss, I loved it. I was like, tell her.
I don't know who directed that, but that was, because your face at the turn around was like a meme. It was like,
it was good.
You know where they go.
The entire episode was done so well.
That's Kevin Bray. Shout out to him. He also directed episode 4 with the Mira Daniels scene, and he's outstanding. He's great. We're definitely trying to bring him back for season 2.
Yeah, he was amazing.
One of the things that we talk about is there is a lot of profanity in the show, right?
There is.
But I love that your sex scenes are still very...
you keep your bra modest. And your underwear. They're very modest. We yeah. love. We I mean, love it that. Just it's
on the women's side.
On the women's yes. side, yes, yes. Please keep that
because there's always, you know, we see these scenes of women. It's okay, Cortez. We see, you know, we always see women, and it's always full frontal. Mm-hmm. And there was just something so special about that. I will tell you, when we were watching, it was like, wow, this was such a great way to show that. We'd never seen that before.
And they're not sexy panties. They're like, you know,
the right panties.
Yeah.
Clown.
Yeah. Were those the Rite Aid panties?
Those were not the right. Dang, Paula. Can they be Hayes? Can they be like Target at least?
Can they be like Comfort Fit? Jeez. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Jeez.
Sorry. I love it.
What was one of the best episodes feminine for you?
The best episodes of film?
Yeah.
I really loved filming episode 3 with the party scene, even though the house was mad cold. But, like, any episode. Mm. And episode 8 is actually, it was really fun. Because we're in Malibu for that episode.
Okay.
And the four girls, the four friends are together. So it was just fun to kind of just be out there and be around each other. It was a lot of fun.
So is rapping one of, I'm sorry, Madison. Is rapping one of your characters that you do as a character, or did you really rap? Previous experience with that.
I'm not a rapper. I will say that, but I do rap when
I
want to have a couple drinks in my system. In high school, actually, absent of drinks, my little brother and I had a Thanksgiving where we just downloaded a bunch of instrumentals off of Napster, and I don't know what. Like, we had the little headphones as recorders, and we started, like, freestyling over beats. And it was, like, we had our family listen to it, and it was just stupid raps. But he ended up taking it seriously and got really good. Mm-hmm. And I always just thought it was fun. And used it in Awkward Black Girl as a device, obviously, to, like... I just thought it was funny for this passive-aggressive person to have these gangster raps of things that she really wishes she could say.
Same. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to lose that as a device and took it to Insecure. But in real life, no.
Do we have the pleasure of having one of the raps right now?
No. Oh, I'm not a rapper.
You have to give her a couple drinks
one of the raps. One of the raps from the show.
I love you.
You going to take your throne tonight?
Let's have that one.
What is it? What's
you
going
to take your throne tonight?
Do you want your man or not?
Yeah.
Do you know your plan? Hey. You going to go back home
or not?
You going to claim your throne or not? Is you Khaleesi or that other bitch? I don't know her name. I'm not Mariah Carey. I don't know her.
Oh, she was so shady for that.
So shady.
Girl, you know who J-Lo is.
Mariah. It's Mariah. She's on fire. Yeah. Okay. Bars. Right? That was good, right? Right. Okay, so speaking of Awkward Black Girl, we got to go back to Awkward Black Girl, because I noticed you changed a couple of things with Insecure.
A lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of great things, like your relationship with Sujata's character was your best friend, and now she's kind of like an arch enemy. And then you had Jay, and then the white Jay.
Oh, yeah.
And so I saw kind of when Molly was talking to Justin, I was like, oh, is there going to be like an interracial thing happening in the future?
Molly blocked her belt left hand.
She did.
Ivan is so cute. Justin, his real name is Ivan, but he's so cute.
Yeah, he's very cute.
He was coming up to a sister. He was showing game. I do have like a theory about Black women and Asian men.
And Black women and others. Like, I feel
Asian men specifically.
Okay, what's your theory? I want to hear.
So, in the statistics, like, of dating apps, Black women are at the bottom. And and Asian men are the least desired.
Interesting.
So, it's like, there's so many great qualities in both. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, y'all should... And they're actually... I said it in jest, like, we might as well get together, man. But there are actually, like, internet meetups of, like, Black women and Asian men. They post pictures of so many relationships that are just out there. But it's just like, and then their babies are really cute. Mm-hmm.
The babies
are really cute.
The small eyes.
Yeah. You said small eyes. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Small eyes? What? So your brother's music, I think it was episode 5 he was actually in the studio, and that's actually a real song now.
He was in the pilot and he with a real song committed. Mm-hmm. I love that song. And then in episode 5 he had his other song where he had to like make it whack.
Yes.
So he was all a little salty about that. Just like, I don't want people to know that it's not whack. But he did it and it sounded whack. So props to him
it was good.
On being whack. Yes. Brother. But yeah, he's a really great artist. He's mm-hmm. a producer too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just a fan of his work.
And you're also a fan of Rafael Sadiq and Solange. So how did Solange get on board? Because I think she's like the dopest.
Yeah. The absolute dopest. So Melina Matsoukas, who's our director, executive mm-hmm. producer, is best friends with Solange. And she was talking about how Solange was looking to get into like music supervision. Oh, wow. And so she was like, I don't know if you guys would be interested in that.
What?
Yeah.
Right.
So we actually insulted her and had her come in and do an interview with us just to be like, why do you want the job?
Because we really
just
want
to game. But also just to like meet her before we do it.
Right.
And she really took it like a job. And I mean, she started telling us about like recording her album. Mm-hmm. And she brought up the Master P thing. And I remember thinking at the time, like, why is Master P in this? But she was just like, we had a long conversation and it connected beautifully in the album. Mm-hmm. But she just was amazing in terms of contributing mm-hmm. Her lens, and you know, we were very specific about the fact that we wanted to have an LA sound mm-hmm. and we wanted to have up and coming artists to be a part of it. And she also introduced us to Rafael Sadiq, who mm-hmm. you know, she collaborated with on the album.
And his studio is in Burbank.
Mm-hmm. I came up here to record mm-hmm. a couple to record the last song I did for episode 5.
Okay.
We made a full version of it.
So how did Rafael get involved?
He was connected with Solange. He was working on her album, and he was doing music composition. He had done underground as well.
Okay.
And so he had experience, and then same thing. He was always just trying to get a feel for the show, constantly asking questions. Mm-hmm. And every piece of score I want, like, as a song.
Yes.
He kills it.
I was going to say, like, I feel like every song, I'm like, who sings that? Like, mm-hmm. I want to know who the artist is.
Yeah.
So do you see in the future that Insecure will actually have, like, a playlist, kind of like Empire? I think they kind of do the same thing.
So we have playlists that come out after every episode on Spotify.
Then
we're definitely doing a soundtrack.
You should.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
It's happening. We're working on
it's Broken...
Right now.
Broken Pussy.
We'll be on the soundtrack. You guys heard it here first.
Yeah,
oh, I'm going to be playing that.
That is exclusive.
That's going to be my diss track to somebody I don't like.
What is that?
Breaking Exclusive.
Exclusive.
But I love
you got that right. That was BHR Exclusive. Yeah.
Right?
We got it.
That was like 5 seconds later.
I love how Los Angeles has been...
I
love how LA has been woven in and the music. Like, you have these extra characters or layers that makes the show so much richer than everything else out there that just is like rubber stamp. Everything looks the same.
Yeah.
I wanted to know about your particular storytelling style and how that applies to you now as also an entrepreneur and kind of brand builder, if you will. I mean, you're telling stories, but now you're really coming up.
Yeah.
And it seems like you've got a vision and values that sort of determine the stories you tell, how you tell them, and where you're going. And I'm wondering if you could kind of elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it comes with just having a genuine love for the places that I grew up mm-hmm. and the places that house the people that I love and the lens through which I view them and they view them, combining that. And Prentice Penny, our showrunner, also grew up in the same neighborhood in Windsor Hills and Baldwin Hills, and we both live in Inglewood now. So we both have an appreciation of both areas and just wanting to highlight that in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. And in my own personal businesses, like our offices are in Inglewood. Mm-hmm. We're trying to, for season 2, bring our writer's room to Inglewood so we can be housed and centrally located, and just so our writers can also just be there. So mm-hmm. you're kind of experiencing the city in the same way that, you know, anybody else would. And you have stories that are born out of that. And I think it's just... like, I really consider the show a mirror to an extent. Obviously, it's through my lens, mm-hmm. but I picture myself holding up the mirror and looking at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the storylines, we're not trying to make, like, statements. We're just, because life isn't a statement. Mm-hmm. It's just a series of questions. It's a series mm-hmm. of events that you try to piece together and that you discuss and you figure out. And so, to me, having someone who is so... visually astute in Melina Matsoukas mm-hmm, in terms mm-hmm. of like making images come to life and just be so like beautiful and abstract at the same time, just felt like the perfect companionship to mm-hmm. to this piece.
Speaking of working with people, I actually love the fact that you brought your friends that are good at what they do with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, Ben even was saying, like, hey, got a test. Like, hey, you want to write on this show? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. I believe that when you work with someone that's actually doing, is good at what they do, the project has no, it's just going to be good, you know, regardless. So definitely appreciate you for, like, bringing the people that you know are good at what they do.
I just love passionate people. Yeah. And I remember where, like, they came with me when I, you know, was just, yeah. like, had an idea. And yeah. so... for me, it's like, let's grow together. I was watching an interview that Amy Aniobi just did today, and she's one of our writers and a producer on the show. And she was talking about how people should really, people always try to, like, network up, mm-hmm. and they should network across. Cross. And yes. I strongly believe in, like, so using the resources that you have, using the people that yeah. you have, and bringing and growing together and bringing them with you, and then mm-hmm. doing the same thing and lifting as you climb, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent of that because, you know, that's the only way to grow. And then you feel sad. You're happy with the people that you work with, and you know yeah. they're there for the right reasons. Mm-hmm.
No motive.
I love them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no motive. Mm-hmm.
And then speaking of that, too, Issa, I noticed that you have a lot of young creators who wouldn't have gotten opportunities. Like, you have new actors on your show that have never been on a show before. And you also have young writers that are in your writer's room mm-hmm. as well. So speak to that when it comes to other creators who feel like, oh, I'm not there yet, so I can't necessarily help someone behind me or pass it on or sow a seed for someone else.
You're always there. It really just is up to you, because I think in terms of, like, there's so many spots, and we are mm-hmm. so conditioned to be like, there's only one spot.
Yes.
I take it.
Yes.
And nobody's going. And it's just, that's not mm-hmm. how it works. And mm-hmm. I find that so many people are willing to be like, to shout you out and to promote your thing. And it's mm-hmm. just, it shouldn't be competitive mm-hmm. At all. And so I'm just a firm believer in, I'm a fan, and I want you to succeed because I want to see different stories out there mm-hmm. and I want to watch good stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's room for good stuff. There's so many opportunities.
It really is. It really yeah. is. Mm-hmm. But back to the episode. I really want to know, like, the whole thing about the mistake with Daniel mm-hmm. and then having to come home mm-hmm. and deal with that with Lawrence. That's real.
Ooh.
Like,
is it?
That's really? Real.
Yeah, you're going to put that on your dating application.
I know.
Don't put that on there.
Yes.
No, I'm going to delete it. Like, to me, that was a very, very real moment, because it's like, would you really walk into the house after just doing a mistake and then come into the house and just, like, just...
But I think to her character, because she's very passive-aggressive, so mm-hmm. she thought about it. She likes to avoid stuff. You see that in all of her relationships. Mm-hmm. You see that with Molly. You see that with the Molly's fake friends. Like, mm-hmm. you see that she's kind of very mm-hmm. passive-aggressive in this kind of...
Mm-hmm. Until her back is against yes. the wall. And then mm-hmm. once you back her into a corner, mm-hmm. that aggressive part comes out.
Yeah.
Or she's forced to, you know, kind of say what's on her mind. But I think in that situation, she envisioned something. She was like, if I tell the truth, it's going to be the worst case scenario.
Right.
Even though that's not even in his character. Right. She was like, this is going to happen to me. So you know what? I'm justified for not telling the truth. There is a mm-hmm. victim mentality that Daniel calls her out of, mm-hmm. about even in this episode.
Well, yeah, the word, mistake.
Yeah.
How mm-hmm. that gets thrown back at her. By Lawrence, of like, yeah. you did this to us over a mistake.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that thought it was good. That was a powerful
brilliant.
Line.
That was really brilliant.
I did. I let it reset back.
It was like, was it a mistake? That really got me thinking. Like, yeah. of like, I don't know mm-hmm. if it was for her.
I think she set out to become this new, different person, as she said, the person that's more active.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
she says that in the dressing room. I like yes. who I'm becoming.
I like who I'm becoming now. But even in the beginning, like, that was her mission. She was tired of just letting life happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started making these decisions. And what she didn't understand is that a lot of these decisions may have consequences. And, you know, there's a way of living in which you're like, I'm just going to see what works. I'm just going to do whatever I want and see how that impact. You're not thinking about how that might impact people. Mm-hmm. And I think she learned too late, like, this has a mm-hmm. consequence.
Yeah, because it was powerful, right? She comes home and she finds that he has gotten the video down. I thought that was a great.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
And the fact that she was crying, I was like, who directed that? Who did it? That was awesome.
That was awesome. That was really awesome. That a passive aggressive person would do, just kind of like internalize. Mm-hmm. And I just did this to him. And look what he just did.
Look what I got at home.
And the fact that she, right, he was the tech guy.
Yep.
And she never even thought to go to him. That's I thought so that was oh, so right. powerful, yeah. right?
But it also goes to an excuse. Like, she wanted an excuse to see Daniel again.
Yeah.
But
there's so many things that happened on that show that was like, okay, that could not have been written in there. Like when Jared came and spoke to you for the first time, and we've been doing that the whole
week. I know. That was so good.
That had to come I'm pretty sure you were just like.
The action moment. No, we wrote that, obviously he would miss the hand, but what I was going to, I think I did a few different playoff things.
Really?
there was a lot of different, so we just chose
somebody. That was a good one.
It's one of our favorites. One of the other things that I love, and I think Melina might have directed this episode, the couch montage.
Oh my god!
And the music with that montage.
We switched that music out. That was a Solange selection. I love that song so much because we were choosing between a couple of them, and I felt like we could do better. And she gave this song, and it was just perfect. And Melina directed the hell out of that. Mm-hmm. That was,
I feel like we're going to start to see a lot of shows with couch montages.
Yeah. It just tells so much of the story.
It did. A sense of
their relationship, where they came from. Mm-hmm. And it really makes you sympathize with Lawrence and see where he was coming from. And they didn't realize, he was depressed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He fell into a rut.
So what do we think about this moment where he has the interview, he gets the job, they offer him a job on the spot, and he backtracks for a second?
Mm-hmm. I was scared for
you. I was really scared for
Lawrence. But at the same time, just to see Issa, okay, let me figure out a way to get this dude. You're just not going to spoil this moment right now.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about that because on one hand, I understand Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I'm bro, you're off the ground and you're like, I could do this better. Mm-hmm. I'm remotivated. I have my second win. I've definitely been there. And you kind of forget where you just were.
Right.
Yeah. And you're just you're so confident in yourself. And I think in Issa's shoes, she's like, I know where that place is. Mm-hmm. We did this.
We were just there.
Yeah. It feels like we're growing. Like, I forgot that I messed up myself, but I just want us to be on a good path. Like, you're doing great right now. Why would you leave? And you could still do this on the side.
At the same time.
I thought it was a mirror moment for him. I thought that was his mirror moment.
In what sense?
In that he, after the interview, he was so pumped up, right? Because that's what Issa would do. She'd get in the mirror and she'd figure it out and she'd get her confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, him having this great interview, they offered him the job and it really gave him a chance to benchmark himself on where his app was. And it was like his mirror moment. He got his confidence back and he was feeling good about it. And he threw it out to Issa. And she was,
shut it down.
Yeah, she just went, I'm not gonna go here. But Tasha, the bank teller.
That's the difference.
Right?
But then there's also, Tasha hasn't been through what Issa's been through with him either. So it's also,
grass always looks greener on the other side.
She's a man with potential. Yeah. She has great ideas and she's going to promote. That sounds great.
Oh, we gave her such a hard time. It was so much fun with her on the show. Oh, it was so much fun.
She was hilarious.
What I definitely want to say on behalf of all the black men to you and the team, thank you for not putting a certain label on black men, because in this whole entire every episode there are men like Lawrence, you know what I'm saying, there are women like Issa, and not every black man is doing something bad on the side or whatever the case may be, or if they're a bum doesn't mean they don't want to work, you know what I'm saying. It's like they really want to, because you can tell he really wants to provide for
he
you
wants to make it work
right.
You know what I'm saying, and I was like, okay, I like that.
That's something in the room that we discussed, just in terms of dimensionalizing all characters and showing people with their flaws, but showing them just as human. And we don't want any tropes. Like, even with Tasha, her character could have easily been the one who's just the Jezebel. But she's superhuman. You see her be vulnerable, but when she shoots her shot and doesn't get the misses, you feel for her.
Yeah,
because she's just like, it's hard out here, and I see a good man, and I want to, and he seems to be giving me vibes back, so, okay, he has a girlfriend.
Even the thing with Thug Yoda, with him having his daughter.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That was based off of actually, me being in Englewood, there's a stupid post office that's only open from 11 to 3. So whenever I miss a package, I have to go to this post office. Oh, wow. And they only let two people in at a time. So there's always a line of people outside. So I go to this post office, and it takes forever. And I'm standing behind this dude who has on, like, these Gucci loafers, a wife beater, and these shorts, and he's holding his daughter's hand, and he's on the phone, like, cussing somebody out, like, I can't even reenact, but it's like, and don't ever come for me, because I swear to God, like, I'll play no games. And then every, like, 5 minutes, he, hey, baby, you good? You good? Okay, you hungry, Dad? Daddy will get you, babe. Okay, love you. So let me tell you what you're doing. And it was like, this is so beautiful. I love you so much. This is us. No, this is us. And so I was saying it's that in the writer's room, and then just in conversations, the idea of that Yoda came up. And Tristan is just the perfect
person. No, he's way.
Perfect. Understated. He was here last week.
Yeah.
And thank you, too, for having a black man and a black woman, because we often don't see that as black women, because the numbers of black on black relationships are, you know, it's hard for black women
they
being
exist.
Single.
Yeah. They exist.
They stay together.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of my friends are, you know, in healthy black couple relationships. And it is out there. And you would think that it isn't just because of the media.
But television.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The numbers game.
But they're real. They're out there.
Well, telling the stories is really important, right?
It
to
is.
Show the world and to show everyone of, like, what normal is or can be. Or, like, you know, just because you don't see it in your neighborhood doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right.
Well, I see this show being a movie.
Yeah.
Really? Like an actual movie, yes. It's like dope.
No, I like it as a show, because then you get thirsty, like, the next
episode. Oh, and then it's Insecure 2.
I can't do all that. I do like television, because I like the people, and there's so many more stories you can tell. It's so funny,
that's
I'm
true.
Saying that, like, movies right now, like, Moonlight is the first movie I went to go see in theaters since February. Mm-hmm. I used to go to the movies all the time. But there's something about, like, even if I'm on Netflix, I'm like, do I want to watch a movie? That's too long. Like, do I want to spend 2 hours of my time watching a movie? Or do I want to, like, take my time with 12 hours of a television show?
Isn't that funny? I think the exact same thing. I don't want to watch a movie, but, oh, my God, I'll binge in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get sucked in on a great TV show,
God,
and I'm just, like, there.
Just because they
be
don't have to wrap
world.
It up in 90 minutes, you know, in 2 hours. It's like everything is too prescribed.
I like to stay and, like, live with these characters.
Sure.
The world. Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about season 2.
Yeah,
the announcement
too.
Last
Congratulations.
Week.
Congratulations.
Shut up.
Yes, you've got to be feeling pretty good.
It's thanks to everybody watching and spreading the word. So, yes, we're just excited to be able to do it again and bring new stories.
Mm-hmm. And shout out to your beautiful mom.
Yeah,
she would be so happy for that.
And the fact that the director was like, you're going to have to give your mom some wine.
He's like, you better start playing and give your mom a speaking role. I was like, oh, fine.
And she was such a natural.
Did she want to do it, like, with
the
lines?
She was so hyped.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. She got nervous, of course, close. And who made her feel comfortable was the woman who plays Joanne, Catherine Curtin.
Mm-hmm.
She was, you know, in the scene with her, and she just made her feel good. And they were, like, best friends by the end of it. She was like, I made a new friend. But she had a really good time.
That's good.
So, Issa, I have to ask, I can see your face from my house. So I'm in West Hollywood, and
I
can
see that. That literally went. I was like, you can see her face.
I can see your face from right outside my apartment. I wanted to know, what does that feel like? Is it just, what is that like?
I definitely had a moment, you know, when I saw the billboard for the first time.
Yeah.
On Sunset.
You know what
on
I like?
Sunset.
What you
on
said
sunset.
At the premiere. When you,
what?
You oh, said, my. Thank you for putting my regular ass
my
face
regular
all over Los Angeles. I love that.
Crazy.
That was like great. It was
like
a great
moment.
Did you see that Jeff we did? Did you see that boomerang we did of y'all?
Oh, I love it. That was so good. It was like spot
you
on.
Saw
it
from
you cannot imagine how long that took.
That took forever.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Because the DP.
That would be
we
mean.
Were having some problems with the DP. Okay?
We were like this.
Loki, I was struggling
Madison,
when I
Madison,
did it too.
Madison. And I'm back there like.
It was hard to do. We did a couple of them. We actually asked because I couldn't get the angles. I was like, guys,
everybody in there.
And the billboard.
You feel me?
DP struggles.
So I have a question. With casting for the characters that was playing the other, like, white characters, that were, like, Joanne and everyone like that. Story. How was that process?
We just had them audition, and they, because like Lisa was
like,
one of our.
There's some other process.
process. Well, did you make them do a race?
Was there a secret text message? Was there a secret black text message?
Was there a Q&A? My thing is, like with those actors that came and auditioned, how about that?
Yeah.
Like I was really wondering, like if they really knew what they were walking into. Like, were they? Did they? You know, because, like, even when, like, we loved having her on the show, and our first question on the very first show was, do you have black friends?
Ooh.
You know?
Real ones. Then, no, we had to break it down. Yeah. We were like, real black friends. Real not black the friends. Oreo black friends, yeah. but the real ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're probably all Oreos. But I love them anyway. Yeah.
And then we tripped you out with, okay, so have they really been to your house?
Yes. Ooh. And they have.
Yes.
Well, so you clearly passed the test.
Yeah.
I made it. Shout out to you.
So I was just wondering if those actors and actresses were like, well, they all, you all go just by actors now, right?
I don't know.
Oh,
I didn't know that was a thing.
Actors, actresses?
Well, I heard that everyone just wanted to be called actors.
Actors.
Oh, okay. So, I wasn't privy to that discussion.
Like, paycheck cash is the same. So.
Okay. I'll be whatever.
Right. I think for me, I just want to know, was it easy for them to really be that character?
I think
you can act that character, but
someone's
really
easier than others. Mm-hmm. I think, like, even with someone like Lisa totally got Frida from the minute she was like, oh my gosh, I know this girl, and you know, I might be related to some girl. You know, like, right. But she, you know, and it just she's one of those actresses that I love watching on the screen because she just does above and beyond, and she makes her a human person. Like, at the end of this series, you want to be, you're like, I want to be friends with Frida.
Yeah.
She just, she means well. So I think just in terms of keeping that conversation open, and obviously as actors they have questions, and so we're just sure to give them answers whenever you know necessary, but I think people grasp them for the most part.
Were they really asking what is on fleek?
Some, they knew better not to. They were like, I was honestly gonna ask, and then I googled it.
Like,
so you taught me something. Which is what you should do in the first place. I do it all the time.
Totally, all the time.
One of my other favorite scenes. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about your hair, because I know Felicia Leatherman is like key
in
doing
Felicia.
Natural hair. So what was, like, the conscious choice for you? Because I've had people ask me, why is Yvonne not wearing her natural hair? And I was like, I think oftentimes as black women, you have kind of, you got to split between the two. You could have the natural hair, but then when you're doing something back to back to back, because I think I saw you were doing, it was like a 9-hour shoot, and she was doing your hair again.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
that's a lot of different scenes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of work, but she kills it.
She does.
She absolutely kills it. So was that a conscious choice for you that I am going to wear my natural hair?
For sure.
Every episode.
I think also because it's just me.
Yeah.
You know, and the character is, for the most part, me. Mm-hmm. And I wear my hair naturally. Mm-hmm. And for Molly's character, it's based off of, like, a real friend of mine who happens to, you know, wear her hair straight for the most part. And, you know, that's just, it's not even a statement thing. It's just, like, that's, black women wear their hair differently.
Yes.
And we're friends with each other. And there's no, like, judgment. It's just a choice.
Yo, that little girl had to let you have it, though, in the beginning.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that true?
They were all brutal.
They were.
Those kids are the sweetest in the world, and you never know that. They really hurt my feelings. I was like, watch this actor, right? Dang.
Because they were so sweet.
They
were
good.
Dang,
they were so cute.
They were the best.
She ain't got no boyfriend.
I was going to say earlier, one of my other favorite scenes was on the beach.
Oh,
when
yeah.
the you're standing there in your shades and you're looking out and the kids are on the beach playing and your peer turns to you and says, why don't they swim more? I love the way you just turned
the way you
turned
because we couldn't see your eyes.
Yeah.
So it was we could just imagine what your eyes
laser.
Like.
Yeah.
Fire.
Laser. We reenacted that scene on the stage.
Y'all reenacted?
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, we did.
I love it.
And we did the when Yvonne ran into the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we saw that.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was really on point. It got cut off, though, right?
It was hilarious.
A little bit. Really
The editing. Blame it on the editor. I was the DP editor.
You killed it, though. That split screen was perfect.
You understand
You had the skill.
You knew what it took, right?
Yes,
and I did that. I did that.
Good night. So we have one more episode for this season. For the next season, what are some things we're looking to... Without telling.
I don't know that I can tell you
can
without
we get 10
telling.
Episodes?
We don't
We're
know.
Definitely getting 10 episodes.
I mean, as far as like, are we going to see Issa change in a good way or a bad way? We see, like, you know, people changing.
Yes. I can tell you, this is a series about, like, the growth. Yeah. So it's a series about, like, a journey. These characters are clearly on a journey to discovering themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like there's a very finite story. It's not like where I'm not about, like, going for 7 to 10 seasons. That's just not type of... I feel like there's a specific story to be told in a limited amount of time, and you're gonna see a growth from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what a great place to do that on HBO.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. There's
just couldn't be a better home for Insecure, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's just a dream come true, and they're very supportive just in terms of the story that they want that we want to tell, and they're just as excited as we are, so you can't ask for anything more.
Mm-hmm. So with Color Creative, I know you have some really interesting projects. Like, I watched Bleach, which I thought was really interesting. Very, very interesting characters. Like, I didn't see a lot of stuff coming. So with Color Creative and those three trailer projects that you're doing, is the hopes for these projects to eventually make it to television? Is that the goal?
Yeah, we have a three-tier. So we're basically about, like, just trying to break new and upcoming writers, people who are super talented but don't have a way into the industry. So our model of success is, like, three-tiered for the most part. One is, like, getting them representation. That's a level of success. We should be able to do for the most part for a lot of our writers. The second is to get them staffed on a show. And the third is to get, that's the holy grail, to, like, get their series made or get their pilots made. So that was one instance, and then that was what we did independently, and since then we've been partnering with other production companies and initiatives just to, on the diversity end, to be like, hey, you said you can't find any writers, but here are some upcoming talented writers here.
I have to ask you guys a question, because I get mad when I'm riding around town and every billboard is for another white movie, another white show, and I'm bored of it. Like, I'm personally bored, but being aware, you know, I realize a lot of people aren't aware. But every billboard comes up, I'm like, oh, great, another just same old, same old. And this, you know, we have the Oscars come, and it's always Oscars so white. What you're doing from the ground up is obviously how this is going to change. But is there any other way? Like, I'm so in awe of what you're doing, because it's actual grassroots change that will eventually get to the top. But what do we do in the meantime? How do we get, like, I'm a white person that's bored with all of these stories. I want to see real people. I live in LA because I like diversity. But it's not happening.
I think just by supporting the shows that are here, because there are a lot of shows online, for example. Like, that's kind of where I would say that a renaissance started. And now there is a renaissance on television and film. And I think that there's...
and when you say support, you mean, like, tweet and watch and...
Yeah, tell people about it. Yeah. Tell people who are...
Go support Issa's channel, Color Creative.
Oh, yeah,
The
that's
Peak
great.
Is another one.
Yeah,
a podcast series, The Fruit, so...
Right. But even just outside of me, there's so many other content creators who are just killing it and just telling people who are, you know, like your friends and who will tell other people who are tired of seeing, like, the same stories over and over. But I think people are being very vocal about, and just even in the success of a lot of these newer shows, it's clear that people are like, oh, this is a new perspective, and this is a new lens. I want to see this. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm optimistic.
I'm very excited. I love First. That is one of my I'm ready for the next season.
That's a great one.
There's news coming with that.
So. Please. Like, Jamila Biggs is amazing. Oh, it's like the new Love Jones for me. Like,
it is.
That was her inspiration. It shows.
It's a modern day Love Jones. And I love, amazing.
Yeah, First
amazing.
Is great.
Yeah, I want to see it, so I can't wait. So I'll stay tuned, and I will definitely be supporting Issa Rae. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. Y'all are so dope. Thank you for doing this week to week. I can't wait to see what y'all think about the finale.
I
can't believe these 8 weeks have just, like, blown
fast.
By.
Super fast. Yeah. Absolutely fast. Yeah. So thank you so much. So I'm Madison Chase, and you have been watching HBO Insecure, episode number 7. So watch us episode number 8. We may have somebody here in studio. I won't spoil
giving
the surprise.
Giving it away again. don't have a surprise.
What the hell? You didn't know. I mean, it could have been Oprah. Issa's like Oprah. She's the Oprah of web series, so that's what I was going with.
That's true. There you go. Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah, yeah, you see where I was going? Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at Madison Chase Fitz.
Hi, I'm Paula Bryant Ellis. I was going to say hi. I'm Paula Bryant Ellis. Thanks for watching. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, P. Bryant Ellis.
Nice. And you can find me on all social media handles as well as Cortez G. West. And where can we find you, Oriana?
You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram at Oriana Leo. Also, check out Tilt by Oriana. It's my fitness business. Mm-hmm. And I won't be here next week, so.
Bye, Felicia.
I'm
bye.
So sad. We're making some money.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to know where to find you.
Issa Rae on everything.
Yes.
Simple.
Way to keep it simple.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
Thank you for having me, you guys.
Awesome. It is awesome.
Great show.
Thank
Congratulations.
You
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.